welcome to Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today, here to help you with your personal problems, and we can chat about New Year's resolutions today, too. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK, today's psalm. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him, his holy arm. The Lord has made his salvation known in the sight of the nations. He has revealed his justice. He has remembered his kindness and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Break into song, sing praise. I hope that's how you're bringing in your new year, 2021. If you just need some hope, read the Psalms. They're full. Well, a lot of them are penitential Psalms, I must say that. So if you're feeling bad about something you did or something that happened in 2020, go ahead and find the penitential Psalms. But so many of the Psalms are songs of praise. Sing to the Lord a new song. So happy New Year to all of you in 2021. I think so many people are happier. Just we're happy that 2020 was over, and we hope that 2021 is not worse. So we'll take on that hope of the Lord with the optimism of Christianity, knowing that the worst thing that could happen isn't that bad, because no one can take away our Lord from us. Even if we die, we will be with him. So staying in the state of grace and setting some good New Year's resolutions to be holy and good are good things as well. So give us a call today with your question or personal problem. I know so many of you ran into a lot of problems over the holidays with extended family and relatives. And I've read some of the emails so far, you know, like the college son coming home and kids that are not on the remote school and coming back home, and different problems that have arisen during the year and during the holidays. So give us a call with whatever might be disturbing your peace today. Or call us in. We can chat about New Year's resolutions today. If you remember last year's New Year's resolution and you completed it, that would be something to know. I bet most people don't even remember. About 3 or 4 years ago, someone called in with an idea for a New Year's resolution. She had a one-word resolution. She would pray and pray and pray for one-word resolution, what word God would give her. And so the next couple of years, we talked about the one-word resolution. So we can hear more about that if you want to call in about that today as well. Because for several years, I did that, and I would pray for one word, try to keep the word at the top of my prayer journal so I'd remember it all year, know that that was a word that we believed was from God. So if you want to chat about one word resolutions, or what your word is, or if you've done that before and how it went and how God led you to that one word resolution, we can chat about that as well. Or if you have a resolution or need a resolution or don't want a New Year's resolution, I read an article about that as well. So today we're going to chat about two things: the regular personal problems. Call in and get some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Or call in and we can chat about New Year's resolutions as well, how those things can help us. Or do they hinder us in any way? I don't know. But a good New Year's resolution should give us hope and encouragement through the new year, so we can all sing to the Lord a new song. The number to get on today's Mast Appeal is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. I'm a certified professional life coach, a Catholic retreat speaker. I'm author of the Love and Life program and the Sex Respect program and the new Love Ed video discussion series for parents with their children and preteens. I'm a speaker at retreats. I have a fun keynote address called The Four Heart Healthy Habits for Holiness for your fundraising events. And you can learn more about my work at my website at sexrespect.com. That's sexrespect.com. So everybody has challenges, and that's what this show is about. How do we face our challenges in light of God's love? So if you're in the middle of a trial, or just coming out of one, or heading toward the next challenge, remember that life is a workout. And I think that's why they call life coaches coaches, too. Life is a workout. And amidst these trials of life, we can gain strength from our Lord, We can gain strength from His grace and good habits and virtues based in His grace. So give us a call today with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Okay, we read some good news, too, about people who got through 2020. Well, it said only frequent church attendees avoided downward mental health trend in 2020. How's that for a good news article? Especially if you're one of those people that attended church regularly. Now, this would include those that went to church, the physical church, as well as never missed their online mass for all those months that we had to stay home. But the survey, the Gallup survey, didn't ask respondents whether they faced limitations to attend religious services. So let's hear what it said. Only frequent church attendees avoided downward mental health trend in 2020. Hallelujah. So Americans who attended religious services weekly are the only demographic group appearing to show improved mental health in 2020, despite the stresses of the coronavirus pandemic and other events, as a new survey. The survey otherwise shows significant self-reported mental health declines among those previously in excellent health who did not attend religious services regularly. Okay, so thanks be to God, we had online masses, we have online adoration, we've had adoration chapels moved to windows so that you could adore in and out. So I know in many, many dioceses, the churches, the priests, the bishops went out of their way to help make the sacraments accessible after those first few months of absolute shock. Like, how can you close our churches? So in this is the comparison of 2020 to 2019. In 2019, about 42% of those who reported attending religious services weekly told Gallup that their mental health was excellent. In 2020, 46% said the same. So actually, mental health trend went up in 2020 for people who attended religious services regularly. Maybe because we had to focus on what was really important, one thing, our union with God. So then it says only 35% of those who attend services nearly weekly or monthly reported excellent mental health, down 12 percentage points from last year. So if you just kind of went or went once a month, your mental health went down. Among those who attend seldom or never, or attend religious services seldom or never, 29% reported excellent mental health, down 13 percentage points. So those who attend church services regularly, whether online or in person, had an increase in their mental health this year. And I think it's because we had no choice except to focus on what was important. So if you came out of 2020 and you can still sing to the Lord a new song, consider yourself blessed. There's also interesting, although this is not a political show, it's interesting that divided the groups by political parties as well. Only 29% of Democrats self-reported excellent mental health, compared to independents who were down 11 points to 32%, and Republicans who were down only 15 points to 41%. So the pro-life the pro-life platform also helps in some ways. All right, this is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. You give us a call with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's Mast Appeal for some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. You can call in, like regular, with your question or personal problem, whether it was a new one over the holidays or something you're ready to tackle this new year that you have let go for a long time. Or call in and we can chat about New Year's resolutions today as well. Our call screener today is Keith, so let's keep him busy with your calls. Tell him your first name, where you're calling from, what your topic is. If you had a New Year's resolution, want an idea of one, or you remember last year's and you fulfilled it, or maybe you want to chat about that one-word resolution. If you prayed about a one-word resolution and God gave you that word, what it was last year and how it went, so you can encourage us. Or maybe a new word that you've gotten for this year. We could chat about that as well. So personal problems, New Year's resolutions, you give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Should we go to our break early, or should I read a one of these emails? Let's go to our break early, and we'll start off our new year singing to the Lord a new song, and we'll be back with your calls in just a moment.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchuk.
When their teens are struggling with depression, parents often wonder whether medication or therapy is the best way to help their kids heal. A new study published in the medical journal The Lancet sheds some light on this question. In a randomized, placebo-controlled, double-blind study, the so-called gold standard in medical research, doctors found that psychotherapy alone helped depressed teens and young adults just as much as those receiving counseling and medication combined. The authors of the study suggest that psychotherapy, especially cognitive behavior therapy, which addresses unhealthy thinking patterns, should be the first line of treatment for teens and young adults, with antidepressants being used only as a support to therapy when necessary. The good news is that teen depression responds tremendously well to treatment, but it's important to make sure that your kids get the right kind of help. I'm Dr. Greg Popchuk, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Over the last 50 years, we've had some of the greatest popes since the Reformation era. So why are things such a mess in American Catholicism? How do we analyze and confront the attacks we're facing? How do we identify wolves in sheep's clothing? How do we re-evangelize the baptized? Dr. Ralph Martin makes sense of a church in crisis and shows pathways forward. He'll make sense of a disordered world. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and you'll find it in our online bookstore.
What are the Dead Sea Scrolls, and why and how do they enrich the Gospels? Hi, this is Peggy Stanton. Join me on A Place of Peace when my guests Father Dave Pavanka and Dr. John Bergsma talk about Jesus and the Dead Sea Scrolls. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net.
And welcome to Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Call in with your question or personal problem. I've been 20 years helping people through Catholic Radio. It's been a pleasure and a privilege, and now we enter a new year, 2021, with some more free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective here on Mass Appeal. And also today, call in, and we can chat about New Year's resolutions, too. If you want an idea of one, or you struggled with last year and you're trying again, or if you have one of those one-word resolutions you want to share with us, or if you have some encouragement for us to fulfill our New Year's resolutions, or you don't want a New Year's resolution, not for a negative reason, but maybe for a good reason, give us a call today. Your calls drive the show, and you decide what the topics are today. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. You're listening to Catholic Radio, in case you were just moving around on the dials. And maybe God just had you stop here, because you'll find a show with some encouragement and hope, which is what you don't get on regular radio that often. All right, our first caller today is Andy Anonymous from Michigan. Welcome to the show, Andy. You're on the air now. What's your question?
Hey, Colleen. My New Year's resolution word is love. So,
Beautiful.
But my girlfriend seems to think that she is cursed because she has the darndest luck, and every time she tries to do what she needs to do in her life, like, you know, the dog's always getting sick, she's getting sick, you know, she can't get to doctor's appointments. And I do believe that there is something there. I'm not saying it's a curse, but It just seems like, you know, everything is going wrong in her life, and she wants to become a Catholic. And I know you can't have your house blessed unless you're a Catholic, but I do believe that would help for starters.
Okay. Well, I don't think there's any heresy in or sacrilege in blessing a house. whether or not that she's Catholic. So I would start there. I would sprinkle holy water around that house, put some blessed salt in certain places, even a green scapular under her bed, although that is for, you know, a conversion of someone. It still would certainly scare away spirits, rosaries in the house. And there are prayers that you can pray, particularly the first thought that came to mind is the prayer of St. Michael the Archangel, any time that she is thinking that direction, because we don't want to give the devil any more credit. You know, we don't acknowledge that everything's from him. Some stuff might be bad luck, you know, but don't give him credit for everything. But if she believes that there is a curse, I mean, there are curses. I mean, you can't deny that. Even Pope Francis will talk about the devil and different curses, and he came from South America, where we see a lot of demonic activity, as well as there is a lot of places in the U.S. But there's a prayer to defeat the work of Satan, because a curse would be brought upon by an evil spirit. We can pray that right now in the St. Michael prayer, and then for her to also think of God, like bring the presence of God into her life. Sometimes just the negative thinking will stew up that presence and let it fester. But if we deny it, just like Jesus says, "Be gone, Satan, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." So if we say no to Satan right away when those thoughts come in and she dismisses those rather than entertains him, he's not going to play around with her anymore. Here's the prayer that I found at Catholic.org. It says, "O Divine Eternal Father, in union with your Divine Son and the Holy Spirit and through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg you to destroy the power of your greatest enemy, the evil spirits, particularly this curse that Andy's girlfriend is experiencing, his fiancé. Cast evil spirits into the deepest recesses of hell and chain them there forever. Take possession of your kingdom from which you have created and which is rightfully yours. Heavenly Father, give us the reign of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And I repeat this prayer out of pure love for you in every beat of my heart and with every breath I take. And Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Be gone, curse, be gone, spirits. Do not entertain those thoughts, dismiss them right away. Sprinkle the house with holy water, put the blessed salt around, and let those go and start a brand new year and sing to the Lord a new song as of now."
Where do you put the blessed salt?
You can sprinkle it different places in the house, maybe on your kitchen windowsill or maybe under the corner of the bed where the dust is going to gather anyway. You know, dark places in the bottom of the closets can be a place, because then that'll bring that light of God's blessing into places that are dark.
Okay.
Or right where you can see it and it reminds you. You know, you could even put it in a little dish on the stove if you want it just out there looking. But it's another sacramental that brings God's presence, because the salt is blessed by a priest. And it brings those blessings and reminders of those blessings to us on a regular basis. From a priest, or sometimes a Catholic bookstore will have it available. But you don't have to buy the blessing. You can take regular salt and take it to your priest or your bishop if he blesses salt regularly, and you can have it blessed.
Oh wow!
So you can get a jug
That's
of
pretty cool.
Just like they bless holy water, they can bless salt. There's a particular blessing for salt, and a particular blessing for holy water that a priest can bless that salt. So you can, you know, buy it at a shrine or a Catholic bookstore, but you can take your salt to your priest, and he has a special blessing for salt, just as he has a special blessing for holy water. Okay.
Oh wow! That's amazing.
Okay, God is good, and the church has provided so many tools of us, because Jesus has already conquered Satan, and this curse is to be dismissed by the saints,
you,
the angels,
you.
And the power of God. All right, amen. All right, thanks for the call. God bless you. You give us a call, too, with your question or personal problem. Let's start off 2021 clean and holy and full of virtue and grace. if you didn't get to confession during Advent, because it's hard to get to confession in 2020, see if the churches are creeping open just a little bit more. I know some of yours have been open a lot, and that's wonderful. Some are still struggling to open. Some are signing up to open and contact tracing, like in my state. But you can always find, within driving distance, a place to be with God, even if, as it was during the COVID, I would just stand outside the wall of the church. But be with God. Worship if you can. Online if you can't be there. Let's start off this new year right. And you give us a call with your question or personal problem, or with chatting about a New Year's resolution. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Our next caller is Susan from Michigan. Welcome to the show, Susan. You're on the air now. Go ahead.
Hi, Colleen. Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you. Happy New Year to you, too.
I do have a one-word resolution, and I was surprised when I when this came to me, and that word is rest.
Oh, I love it. Rest. Beautiful. And there's so much you can do just meditating on that word rest when it comes from God. He always wants us to rest in Him and rest in His peace. Beautiful. That's wonderful. And all right, I'll ponder that for a while too, rest. I'm glad He gave you that word, Susan, because I know you're a go-getter and always trying to know what you can do for our Lord. And sometimes what you can do for Him, besides the regular work you're doing to spread His good news, is to rest. Excellent. Okay.
Thank you, Tommy.
Okay, thanks for the call. God bless you. You give us a call, too, with your question or personal problem as we're trying to live out our faith in 2021, even if it's a problem that's been going on for a long time, or maybe it's a new one that just popped up over the holidays. I'm here to help you with some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Or call in, and we can chat about your New Year's resolution, if you have one, if you don't have one, if you've got a one-word one that we've talked about the last couple of years on the show. The number is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Our next caller is Linda from Illinois. Welcome to the show, Linda. Are you calling about a New Year's resolution or a question?
I'm calling about a New Year's resolution.
Okay, well, thanks. Go ahead.
Our family each year goes on a retreat. We try to make it a religious retreat. We often go to a monastery to do this. But we write down our goals just to make sure that they're achievable and something that we can do. And then we revisit them every year. We usually go around Martin Luther King Day weekend, so it's a little bit of a long weekend so that we can really have a good retreat together and get away. We find that it's helpful just to step away from our normal.
Yeah, businesses do that. How many people in your family go, Linda? Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, we have a small family. We just have one son, so it's just my husband and my teenager and me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. How beautiful. And you direct it yourself. You bring your own, you know, prayers and Bibles and then look at your past and look at what you want to accomplish as a family working together this year?
That is exactly it. It is as though you were with us, yes.
Oh, my goodness. That is a great idea. Thanks for sharing that. I love that idea. And I'm sure you inspired many other families as well. If you can go away and go to a retreat house or some quiet place, or hopefully some warm place. You're from Illinois, so I don't know how far you have to go, except unless they have indoor heating. and get away and be with God and pray and figure out what you're going to do. So do you stay for more than one day, like an overnight retreat, or one day? Or overnight.
Yes, so it's a 3-day retreat. You know, you just have to change things up a little bit. So it takes a little time just to just to disconnect.
You're right.
From the hustle bustle. Really?
You're so right. And when you're home, even if you're trying to disconnect from home, there is always the food to cook next. There is, you know, the phone that rings. Your emails are sitting there. And, you know, the snow needs to be shoveled. There's always something going on at home that takes you away. So I love that idea of getting away with your family once a year. Then you even remember last year's goals, review those, and set some new ones for this year. And I bet that makes your family feel so much closer, that you're all on the same page, working toward a goal in the new year. That's a great idea, Linda.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And I have one more thing to share. We have something called a gratitude jar, and we take that along with us to the retreat. So we, whenever anything nice happens or good or great or whatever, we write out a little slip of paper and say, oh, he won the spelling bee, or, oh, he got to cut down that tree that's been really bothering him in the backyard, or, you know, I got this or that.
It can be
tiny things, or just things that we want to celebrate. And then we take that along, and just celebrating all of those blessings.
I love this idea. I'm going to do this. So you do this Martin Luther King weekend, because there's an extra day off school. You have a gratitude chart that you keep all year. You go through that. You get away and set some goals for the year. Linda, thanks for that great New Year's idea. I'm so excited. I think I'm going to try it myself. God bless you. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, 877-5-PEP-TALK. We'll be back in a moment. Good morning, and welcome to Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem, or if you want to chat about New Year's resolutions, the number is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Keith is our call screener today. He's waiting for your call. Tell him your first name, where you're calling from, and the topic of your call. 877-573-7825. Okay, we've talked to Andy and Susan and Linda, and next is Kent from Illinois, which made me a little bit nervous when I saw that on the board, because my husband's name is Kent, and he's from Illinois, and he's in the next room, and I was afraid he was calling with a problem right next to me, or a problem with me. But he thinks he has the most wonderful wife in the world. He thinks I'm an absolute saint, so I don't think he'd be calling in the show, but... Anyway, Kent from Illinois on line one, welcome to the show. How can I help you today?
Okay, this is a New Year's resolution. Now, I'm an ordained minister, I'm a retired military chaplain, I'm a Christian counselor, and I got an anger problem. I spent a lot of time with an air assault infantry and a lot of military stuff where, you know, it was hard charging, hardcore, you know, and I'll give an example. I was at a friend's house and somebody was there, and I was discussing how I was in ministry to people in prison and other ministries I was doing, and the person basically said, you're not supposed to do that, you're doing it wrong. And, you know, rather than giving a kind return answer, I went on the warpath, and I just was saying to myself, because I should be setting the example with the credentials that I have. I should be showing people how to respond in love. And yet it's like I've got smoke coming off the top of my head, and I'm wanting to go after him with both hands. You know, what can I do? I know one of the things that I have been doing that's been helpful, because I literally get into anxiety because I get so worked up in anger and unforgiveness, and I teach how to let that go. But, you know, it's harder to do it for yourself than it is to help other people. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes absolute sense, Kent. I understand that totally. And that's true, part of our human nature. Even though the Holy Spirit lives in us, it's sometimes more difficult to do those things, to practice what you preach, in other words. And so if you're already an ordained minister and a counselor and you help other people, there are some tools that you could utilize on yourself that can help others as well. One of them, you might, if you've not read that book yet, called Forgiveness Therapy by Dr. Rick Fitzgibbons, Forgiveness Therapy. That will help you in your own work as well as your own self. And he talks about all the different kinds of anger, passive-aggressive anger, limitations on forgiveness, controlling spouses, abusive spouses, anger and anxiety in children, and how forgiveness therapy works, even whether people were survivors of incest or, you know, so many. He's done tremendous amounts of studies on forgiveness therapy as an antidote to resolving anger. So the subtitle of that book is An Empirical Guide for Resolving Anger and Restoring Hope. So there are deep-seated things in many people, not just somebody with your background, that need a longer-term healing and forgiveness therapy. He teaches how to do that in his book, Forgiveness Therapy. And this is more of a technical book for practitioners such as yourself. But for just a regular person that wants the lay version of it, he explains his forgiveness therapy concepts in his book, Habits for a Healthy Marriage. And there's a whole chapter that explains that for lay people, Habits for a Healthy Marriage by Dr. Rick Fitzgibbons. But if you want the professional version, he has a whole book of studies called Forgiveness Therapy. And another thing that might help you, and I believe there are ministries in many, many states, is the Unbound Ministry. And the Unbound Ministry is a spiritual movement of healing started by Neil Lozano. And it helps people find freedom from these long-term, maybe trapped emotions and deep-seated problems that might have, you know, been trapped in us when we were a small child. It might not even have been an abusive situation, but maybe the way we perceived it, you know, as a six-month-old or a three-year-old or some kind of neglect as a child, something that might be going on within us. And this Unbound Ministry helps address through prayer the healing, just to get the devil out of all these little places of our life by inviting our Lord in there through repentance and faith and forgiveness and renouncing the work of your enemies and standing in the authority we have in Christ and reviving the Father's blessings on our identity as children of God. Because, Kent, you know, as a minister, how much God loves you. Like, God loves you so much. He called you to be a minister. He calls you to help heal other people and bring them to Him. So you know that He loves you so much, and He wants you to represent His love to others. He wants you to be whole. He wants you to be healed. Even those trapped emotions in the deepest recesses of your heart, you can invite Him into those places in prayer and ask Him to heal those. So in your prayer time, go to our Lord and give Him an example. He knows what you've been through. He knows when you lose your temper. He knows when you get more angry than you should. And ask Him to show you, where's this coming from, Lord? And can you go in there and heal it? And if He shows you a situation in your meditation that needs healing, just invite Him in there. Bring our Lord in and let Him shed light on that particular situation, and He can change that for you. So between forgiveness therapy or Habits for a Healthy Marriage and the Unbound Ministry, if you want to do the guidebook or find a Catholic Charismatic Prayer Group that utilizes Unbound Ministry, or go to one of the workshops so you can practice it yourself in your own ministry as a pastor, those things will help you as well. So the anger problem doesn't have to exist. And you can only go so far with just what I'd call white-knuckling it. You know, like to manage your own self-control has its limitations. But to bring in the virtue of forgiveness and to invite our Lord into your wounds, those things will help heal it in the long run. And then your habit, the habit you're trying to develop of kindness and forgiveness and goodness, and those virtues that you're trying to practice will be easier to practice when you let God heal the wound that is the source of that. So experience the Holy Spirit, let God heal you, and then those fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, will manifest themselves better even at those moments that it's most difficult. So there's some tools, from a psychologist, Dr. Rick Fitzgibbons, as well as from Healing Ministries that can help you. So God bless you, Keith, and you know that with the help of God and His grace, you can conquer that anger issue as well. Thanks for the call. This is Colleen Kelly Mass on Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem, or call in and we'll talk about New Year's resolution, whether it's a one-word resolution or whether you've successfully achieved last year's resolution or have a great idea like Linda did about goal-setting resolutions, give us a call, 877 877- 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. We'll be back in a moment.
What is Jesus Christ's relationship to the church he founded? According to the Catholic Catechism, whether the head or the members of the church speak, it is Christ who speaks in his role as the head and in his role as the body. As head, Christ calls himself the bridegroom. As body, he calls himself the bride. In the Gospel, Jesus says, "So they are no longer two, but one flesh." This great mystery of conjugal union, where two different persons become one, is applied to Christ and the church. The Catechism says further, the church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. St. Augustine said, "What the soul is to the human body, the Holy Spirit is to the body of Christ, which is the church." The Holy Spirit makes the church the temple of the living God. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism. Please visit us at our website, www.maltausa.org.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. The conclusion of another year should help us reflect upon what we have done and what we have failed to do. Tonight, an exchange is completed. God gives us the gift of time, and we use it in loving service to others. What have we done this year for the defense of life? Whatever we did, we can be sure that God multiplies the effect of our efforts. We can also be sure that the new year will offer us the chance to do even more. Let us resolve tonight that we will increase the amount of time and energy we devote to what the Pope and bishops have called the number one moral issue, restoring the right to life. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Welcome to Mass to Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. You chat with Keith for a few minutes, our call screener today. Tell him your first name, where you're calling from, and the topic of your call. He'll put it on my screen, and I'll call you when it's your turn. And I was thinking about Kent from Illinois over the break. Called about his anger problem, and it came to mind when I had been pondering tomorrow's readings. Tomorrow is the Feast of the Epiphany in many dioceses in some countries. I'll say that much. It's generally January 6th, but we've moved it to be more convenient the Sunday after the Feast of the Holy Family Sunday, the Sunday after New Year. So the reading from Isaiah, "Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick clouds the peoples, but upon you the Lord shines and over you appears his glory." So Kent from Illinois, struggling with that anger problem, knowing that you're an ordained minister and you're seeking to serve our Lord, read that over, that from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 6. "Your light has come, the glory of the Lord shines on you. Darkness covers the earth and thick clouds cover the people, but upon you the Lord shines." So there is a lot of darkness in the earth, and there is a lot of anger and discontent and deep wounds inside of people, but know that the Lord shines on you. Upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. So claim that for yourself, the glory that God wants us to have as we face this new year, 2021. All right, you give us a call with your question or personal problem or idea about a New Year's resolution. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Mary from Texas, calling from iHeartRadio. Welcome to the show. Great to hear from you from Texas, Mary. You called with a New Year's resolution, one word one. What is it? Tell us, Mary.
First off, I'd like to say thank you for taking my call, and I really enjoy your program.
Oh, thank you, Mary.
And my one word is chastity.
Wow.
I hate to say this, but Andy was an early bloomer of chastity. He should use chastity 1 year. The next year he can use charity. The theological virtues,
mm-hmm.
faith, hope, and love.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he chose love.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah, he did. He did say the word. His word was love.
Well, chastity, you have the four different types of love. So those bloom the following years, like the different flowers,
mm-hmm.
different beautiful flowers that bloom. So,
yes.
I'd say chastity.
Okay, beautiful. All right, thanks. That's a beautiful word for all of us to ponder for the new year or any time of life. And that's been a lot of what my life's work is about. God called me to teach chastity and preach chastity and write about chastity. I was a high school teacher for several years, and chastity was missing. Both charity and chastity were missing, actually, at that time. And chastity was almost an unknown word. There wasn't a chastity movement yet back when I was teaching high school. And when I presented the beauty of God's teachings and the commandments and the beauty of marriage and teachings of Humani Vitae to 16 and 17-year-olds, they were so responsive that people started asking, how did you get your students to turn out that way? And I'd tell them the truth with love. And then my ministry kept growing. People said, can you come teach us how to do that? And can you write this down, what you taught them in high school? And that literally became the Love and Life program. And then I translated it into public school because I was working on my master's in health education to a public school book, Sex Respect. So then I wrote Love and Life and the Parents Guide student workbook and the teacher manual, and then the Sex Respect program, and then now I have the Love Ed program. It's a video discussion series for parents with their kids, and that helps people teach what chastity is. And parents that don't know how to even explain chastity or even a love and marriage to their kids might benefit from that. So you can learn more about my Love Ed program at my website at sexrespect.com. There'll be a little tab up there, I think, on the new website that maybe you haven't seen it yet, for Love Ed. It'll take you to a page about Love Ed. So that might help a lot of people out there that want to ponder that word chastity or spread the news about chastity. So thanks for that call, Mary. What a beautiful word to ponder for your one-word resolution, chastity.
Caller.
All right, God. Yes. Okay,
so
God bless. Go ahead.
Bye.
Are you finished, Mary? Okay, I think she's done. Okay, well, thanks for the call, Mary, and for helping us articulate that there are differences between charity and chastity is one of the fruits, and it's a beautiful virtue to ponder this New Year's. Okay, should we take our break now before our next caller? Let's do that. Okay, it's time for a break, then we won't have to cut off our next caller. You give us a call, too. We're here for another hour and 15 minutes on Masked Appeal, taking questions and personal problems from a Catholic perspective or taking calls about New Year's resolutions. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK, and we'll be back with your calls in just a moment.
Fire on the Earth, Peter Herbeck. And we do have discouraging times, you know, times that really can, if we're not careful, can lead us into discouragement. And to the point where the enemy wants to get us to is to live without hope, is to just give up, throw up our arms and say, no, God's not here. This is not never going to go anywhere. Nothing's ever going to change. And just give in. Give up and give in. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to give up, give in, quit the fight, because then it's over. What we need to do is stand in the Lord. And if we just walk as Jesus is describing, to tap into the strength that he wants to give us. He said, look, I'm with you always to the end of the age. I will never leave you. I'll never abandon you. I'll never fail you. And I've called you and I've chosen you to bear fruit. And he knows exactly the circumstances of our lives. He knew, you know, when you were made, he knew, for God the Father knew, that you'd be living through these days. Just as he knew that my father would live through the days and my mother the days of the Second World War. He knows you were going to be alive at this time. And if you're listening to this program, and you're baptized into Christ and you're a follower of Jesus, He's made you to make a difference. He's made you to bear fruit, even in these difficult times. He's made you to be a light. He's made you to be different.
Peter Herbeck spreads fire on the earth, weekday mornings at 6:30 and again at 11:45 on 990 Ave Maria Radio. Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, every Christian church has its own ancient and indigenous chant, which is sung by the faithful during liturgical services. This gives cantors a special place in Eastern Christian liturgy.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO Ave Maria Radio.
And welcome to Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your host today. I'm an author, a speaker, and a professional life coach. And I'm here to help you today with your personal problems, or we can chat about New Year's resolutions. A couple years ago on the show, we had a caller call in about a one-word resolution. She would pray that God would give her a certain word, and that would be her resolution. That sounds less complicated than setting up a whole bunch of goals, but some people are better off at setting a whole bunch of goals. Linda called earlier with this great idea of going on a retreat and goal setting as a family and keeping a gratitude journal all year that you go through. They do this in January over Martin Luther King weekend. Those are great ideas. Susan called in with her one word is rest. Mary called in with the word chastity. Kent called in, I think it was with the word love. So call us with your one-word resolution or to chat about New Year's resolutions or your personal problem. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Our next caller is David from Kansas. Welcome to the show, David. Are you calling about a New Year's resolution?
Yes. A one-word New Year's resolution.
Okay. And what is that word?
And my word is, yes, my word is stillness.
Wow. That's beautiful to ponder that. do you ponder that at the beginning of each of your daily prayers? Does that help you then with your one word?
Well, I just thought of it listening to your radio station this morning.
Excellent.
The word that I use is non-confluence, but stillness is more direct, more simple.
Yeah, it is. Thank you so much. That'll challenge myself and all of our listeners to ponder that word. What a beautiful word that God gives you, because without stillness, you know, in this crazy world, even though people had to stop this past year in 2020, some people still didn't experience that stillness where we can certainly hear God and be in Him. So stillness, beautiful word. Okay, thank you so much for sharing that with us, David. God bless you and have a wonderful, happy new year. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I also visualize like still water, or like the quiet of the early morning.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that help me.
That does
wrap my mind around it.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good. And those are beautiful ways to get into the meditation using your senses. And that's what St. Ignatius tried to help us learn how to do, is to, in the Ignatian exercises, use our imagination and our memory. And if you can think of still water and help you with the stillness, or that time of early morning when the birds are just chirping and everything's still quiet, the hustle and bustle of the day is not begun, and take that time to be with God. It's a beautiful way to start the day. It's a beautiful way to end the day as well. Thank you so much. And do you have a certain way that you know that God wants you to apply that this year that you want to share?
I'm just trying to practice silence, in inner silence, not outer silence. It's I'm just trying to find that point in myself where there's no movement.
Beautiful. Hey, well, thank you for the call, and thanks for that idea, where we can find stillness and look for stillness and experience inner silence in our life. Oh, my goodness. I love that inner stillness where you can hear God no matter what's going on. Like, even if you can't practice external silence, which is not necessary all the time, but if you can hear God in the midst of even the chaos of the world, trains coming by, being in the car. All right, you give us a call, too. We're here for the next hour on Masked Appeal, the number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem as you're trying to live out your faith, maybe struggling with something that came up over the holidays, a big storm coming up in your life, and it just helps you to know you're not walking alone. Give us a call here on Masked Appeal. Keith will take your call. Melissa's at the dials. This is Colleen Kelly Mass, ready to offer free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show for the next hour here is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. As we begin 2021 and sing to the Lord a new song, which is today's psalm, and tomorrow's reading from Isaiah says, "Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem, your light has come." Now tomorrow, as I mentioned, is the Feast of the Epiphany, but for those of you that are just turning the radio dials and new to the faith, it's when we celebrate, sorry I didn't even explain that, when we celebrate the three kings coming to visit Jesus. The Magi came from the east because they had studied the stars and followed the stars to this newborn king. And so the gospel tomorrow will tell us, remind us of that story where the Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, you know, where's the newborn king? And King Herod heard they were looking for that. And he's troubled because he saw that king coming as competition. And so Herod called them in and said, you know, go search for that child and tell me when you find him. So they searched for the child. They saw that star that they had, because they studied the stars, they saw it had rising before them, and they came and stopped over the place where the child was, and they were overjoyed. They felt that joy of the Lord. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, kind of like that star we saw last week, maybe where the two planets came together. That might have been the star, who knows. And when they entered the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. So they were following that inner voice, that stillness, and the knowledge that they had of the stars to find our Lord. What do you need to follow to find our Lord this new year? Are you following the stars or the stillness or following chastity or resting more or thinking of love or practicing love? What do we need to what star do we need to follow to find our Lord so that we can do him homage? And what treasures do we want to give him this year in 2021? It might not be physically gold, frankincense, and myrrh, although I used to always use those oils and use them in my New Year's bath, frankincense and myrrh. Even before oils were trendy, I knew if it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. But what gift of gold or beautiful scents or healing oils, what can you bring our Lord Jesus Christ in this new year, 2021? Well, if you're struggling with something, give us a call. The number to get on today's Masked Appeal for the next hour is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Call in with your question or personal problem or something that's disturbing your peace as you face the new year, or something you brought to the new year from last year that you want to get rid of or fix, or call in with an idea of a New Year's resolution. And either one will take your call, and your calls will drive the show here for the next hour. The number to get on today's Masked Appeal is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK, as we try to sing to the Lord a new song here as we enter 2021. We'll be back with your calls after this message.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Second hour of Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your host today. I'm a certified professional life coach, a Catholic retreat speaker, a mom of five, and I grew up second oldest of nine children, so we've had some of your problems before. I have a master's degree in health education, an honorary doctorate in humane letters, and teaching certificates in science, health, theology, and physical education. I've taught CCD at every grade. I've taught elementary school, high school. When my sex respect curriculum reached national acclaim, I was even a guest on shows like Oprah and Geraldo and 60 Minutes and Mother Angelica Live, so I got to meet her in person before I even knew I would be on EWTN Radio. I was even invited to the Vatican by Pope John Paul II's Pontifical Council for the Family to come to Rome to present to the council my Love and Life program for parents and teens, because they considered that a model for teaching chastity, and when they were starting to release the document, The Truth and Meaning of Human Sexuality. So I've spent decades defending the truth about life and debating leaders from the ACLU and Planned Parenthood and CECIS, and traveled and helped as many people as I could while raising my own family of five kids in between, and my husband as well. Sometimes you have to raise your husband a little bit too. So call in, I can help you. I can offer an open ear, some understanding, some compassion, and accompany you to a place of hope here as we start off 2021 with some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective on Catholic Radio. Give us a call here today. Keith is here to take your calls. Tell him your name, where you're calling from, and your topic. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. You can call in with your question or personal problem, whatever might be disturbing your peace. Or we can chat about a New Year's resolution. Maybe if you received a one-word resolution that you just think, I think that's what God wants me to do this year. This one word is what I need to ponder and practice. Or maybe you have an idea for families, like Linda called in with, about setting up a family resolution and family goals for the new year. So give us a call with your question or personal problem or New Year's idea at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Got a couple questions, emails to answer here as well. Before we start our calls this hour, one said she'd like the answer now because it's going to happen tomorrow, so I better get to this. When you email me at mastappeal@avemariaradio.net, sometimes I have time to answer them, sometimes I get too many to answer, but I usually try to answer them on the air within the next couple weeks of shows. But this one said, could you please answer it soon? So we'll go for here. Let's see. From Georgiana. Okay, it's a little bit long, but she says, Colleen, please answer my question this week, as this event is happening this Sunday. How do I explain the situation to my children who are 7, 10, and 13? I know that you'll have some good words. And I usually can do that, because throughout the years of working with chastity education and family life education, I've been a specialist in knowing exactly how to protect kids' innocence and what to say when and how much information to give them. And in my new Love Ed parent guide that you can get at loveed.com or at St. Benedict Press or at my own website at sexrespect.com, I go through the different age levels and what you can tell them. So you called the right place, but here's a question that's pretty complicated. She says, we're going out of town to visit their cousins, their 7, 10, and 13-year-old. Their cousins and my brother, their dad, for the holidays, which is a normal trip for us a couple times a year. But this new situation we'll be facing is really hard to explain and defend. My brother has two children, 10 and 13, and his wife left him 4 years ago to hang out with her old friends, and she became an alcoholic and drug addict. My brother was shocked and saddened when she left. He cried for many months and then picked up and became a wonderful single dad to his two kids. About a year ago, my brother's ex-wife had a child out of wedlock with another drug addict, and we don't know who the father is. Recently, her child was taken away from her by Child Protective Services, and they looked for a foster home. They asked my brother to foster this child of his ex-wife, and since he's raising the other siblings, and he said yes. I think this is hugely merciful and magnanimous and sacrificial of him. So when we go to visit him this Sunday with my pure Catholic sheltered innocent children, they will see this one-year-old living with their two cousins and uncle. How do I explain this mess to my three kids so they aren't shocked or too nosy when we visit? They don't know the child exists or the circumstances. Yeah, that is a little bit delicate, Georgiana. Okay, so I would explain to each of your kids separately what's going on, and so they have an opportunity to ask any questions. And the 7 and 10-year-old do not need all that information. It's too much information for them. They don't need to know the background of the child necessarily, and be delicate about even what you tell the 13-year-old. So this adult type of dysfunction in a family does not need to be dumped on the 7 or 10-year-old to burden them. And people do that too much today. Poor children are carrying adult problems around. And it's not like you're lying to them. It's just you're not giving them information they don't need because they cannot process it because they're a child. So don't dump all that information, at least on the 7 and 10-year-old. They just need to have a nice day with their cousins and have fun. And now that there's a one-year-old there, they'll even have more fun. So you could tell the 13-year-old more than the 7 and 10-year-old, but he'll probably talk, to the 13-year-old cousin about it and get more information. So you do need to prepare him a little bit more, or her. So to the younger ones, don't give the background of where the child came from. I don't think that would help. Just say, Uncle Joe has a surprise. He loves kids so much that he became a foster father to a one-year-old. And the baby is so cute, and you'll get to play with him this Sunday when we go visit our cousin. So share the excitement of life and the excitement of Uncle Joe's generosity, and that they'll get to play with this baby, because that's really all the 7 and 10-year-old need to know. But then you can say, remember what a foster parent is? It's someone who takes care of a child even though they aren't the actual parent, just like St. Joseph did for Jesus. He took care of Mary and Jesus, and he wasn't the actual father of Jesus. We know that God was. So then you get the tie in the foster father idea, and then you can just tell the 7 and 10-year-old, just say, for some unknown reason, this child's parents couldn't take care of him. So that way that you aren't specifying where the child came from, because it's too much information for them. And you can say, we don't know if Uncle Joe will have this baby for a few months or for a year or longer, but you can treat this baby just like a cousin for now, and we'll have so much fun Sunday when we visit them. So keep it positive. Only give them information that they need to know, and let the rest of that rest. But for the 13-year-old, when you tell your 13-year-old separately, see if the 13-year-old is a little more curious. You can also say that the foster child might look like his cousins because their mom actually had this baby after she left, their uncle, because she made some bad and destructive choices in her life with drugs and alcohol. So a 13-year-old can probably know that bad choices are an underlying problem to a lot of circumstances. So, warn that 13-year-old that not to tell the other kids information they don't need to know, and they don't need to know that as well, but it'd be good to inform your 13-year-old in case that comes up with their cousin the same age, that they know how to discuss it. So having done that, that should relieve your worries of what's going to come up, and they're not going to ask a bunch of nosy questions, but just satisfy the curiosity of the 7 and 10-year-old and give a little more information to the 13-year-old, and then enjoy tomorrow and love and be supportive to your brother and the other cousins, and know that you've at least opened the door to some conversations with that 13-year-old that might need to take place again after it all happens and he processes that information. And the small kids, the 7 and 10-year-old, protect their innocence as much as you can and just let them enjoy their cousins. And whether this cousin is here, you know, temporarily or permanently, you don't actually know that, but at least you've had a good start and enjoyed some time with them. So God bless you as you are supportive to your brother in that effort to visit over the holidays. All right, that was our first email today. Maybe we'll have time for another one. But give us a call now. Your calls drive the show. You decide what the topics are today. The number to get on today's Masked Appeal is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. And we're chatting today about two different things. One is always your questions or personal problems, and we'll take any topic there of what's disturbing your peace or a problem you want to solve. Another thing that we're taking is calls about New Year's resolutions. We've chatted before about a one-word resolution and how that applies to us, and so that we can ponder that one word at the beginning of our daily prayer, or maybe setting goals for yourself, or maybe your New Year's resolution from last year and what it did for your life. So we'll take New Year's resolutions calls this hour, as well as personal problems. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. And let's go to our break now, and we'll be back to chat with Rose and Doris and Josie and Jean right after this message.
Fire on the Earth's Peter Herbeck.
And we do have discouraging times, you know, times that really can, if we're not careful, can lead us into discouragement and to the point where the enemy wants to get us to is to live without hope, is to just give up, throw up our arms and say, no, God's not here. This is not never going to go anywhere. Nothing's ever going to change, and just give in. Give up and give in. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to give up, give in, quit the fight, because then it's over. What we need to do is stand in the Lord, and if we just walk as Jesus is describing, to tap into the strength that he wants to give us. He said, look, I'm with you always to the end of the age. I will never leave you. I'll never abandon you. I'll never fail you. And I've called you and I've chosen you to bear fruit. And he knows exactly the circumstances of our lives. He knew, you know, when you were made, he knew, they, for God the Father knew, that you'd be living through these days. Just as he knew that my father would live through the days, and my mother the days of the Second World War. He knows you were going to be alive at this time. And if you're listening to this program, and you're baptized into Christ, and you're a follower of Jesus, he's made you to make a difference. He's made you to bear fruit. Even in these difficult times, he's made you to be a light. He's made you to be different.
Peter Herbeck spreads fire on the earth. Weekday mornings at 6:30 and again at 11:45 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Ever thought you'd make a bungle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Good morning and welcome to Masked Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective here in 2021. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem or an idea of a New Year's resolution is 877-573-7825-877-5-PEP-TALK. Our first caller this hour is Rose from New York, listening on Sirius XM Radio. Welcome to the show, Rose. How can I help you today?
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I need some guidance as to how to handle an ongoing family situation. I am the only practicing Catholic in a previously Catholic family. My siblings have gone into all kinds of paganism and idolatry and, you know,
Reiki and the year of the owl and, you know, the universe is doing this. I mean, my nieces and nephews are saying the universe didn't want that, things like that. And I can't change them. I can only maintain who I am. I push back. Please don't send me this stuff. It's you know, idolatry to me.
Just
deleting it. And that's not my concern. My concern is their influence on my mother. She's in her 80s. She's not gaining years. And, you know, as the aging process goes, she gets more confused.
Yes.
And I'm hearing stuff from her that's, well, maybe my truth isn't your truth, and everybody does what they want to do, and everybody just needs to make themselves happy, and as long as you're a good person. And I hear this stuff, and I just go into shell shock. I just don't know what to say.
Wow.
And I don't know. I can't change them. I gently try to unravel the untruth, like, Ma, there is only one truth, you know, and I try to give examples. You know, there's a truth of gravity. If you want to get science and not religion. But, you know, I see her sliding into this almost state of apostasy.
Yeah.
You know, almost an aversion to church because that's what she's hearing. Spiritual but not religious, whatever that means.
Yes, I know all that language. You're right.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm exhausted, and it's January 2, you know,
because
this has happened because of the holiday and the more frequent contact, although there is daily telephone contact.
Mm-hmm. But you do? You talk to her every day?
Change. All of us do, yeah.
Okay, all right.
But
all right, I have
to call like every day.
Yeah. You know what? I would go on the attack. I mean, this is a spiritual war that we are in. You know that as well as everybody who listens to Catholic Radio probably realizes, Rose, that there is a huge spiritual war. Satan is out there just ready to nab any souls that he can. And if your siblings are trying to brainwash your mom, telling her the lies of the devil, you know, the best you can do is to pray with her and let her know those are lies. So when you hear those kind of phrases, it would be good to counteract them. I know you can't change your siblings, but God can, of course. But by living the truth and just gently, not forcibly, trying to defend the truth and present the truth, you can at least help your mom, who is aging and confused and now almost going to becoming a victim of this crazy language that's all over our world. For example, if your mom says to you when you talk to her, like, well, the universe is with us, this, say, you know, you could kind of chuckle and say, Mom, like, I think I heard that in a fiction movie, but you know it's God. You and I both know it's God. And, you know, you can just come up with something just short and truthful that you kind of dismiss what is the trivial, well, really, their lies, the confusion that she's hearing by dismissing it. You know, so you can say, oh, Mom, you know, of course, we're not going to, you know, I'm not going to read you the horoscope. We know that that's not our religion. And then maybe bring her a piece of the catechism, you know, that says that not to believe in horoscopes or things like that. So if you can downplay what she's hearing and take her to where the truth is, you know that's, if she raised her family Catholic, you know that's already in her heart. And then follow it immediately with the prayer, either the Our Father or the St. Michael the Archangel prayer. Those are two most common prayers that are prayers of exorcism and dismissing this, the evil that is disguised as another form of help in the universe. We know that God owns the universe. God created the universe. Why stop short and call God a universe? He's God. He's bigger than that. He created the universe. So think and pray about the truths that you know in very simple language. And when you do talk to your mom each day, somehow dismiss those lies. And bring her those simple truths, and then ask her to pray. And each day, if you say one of those prayers with her, the Our Father or the St. Michael the Archangel prayer, we just trust that God will work in her heart, and she'll see the lies for what they are as lies. And then she will see the light of God, who wants to live in her heart, especially in these later years as she becomes confused. So you do have a spiritual battle to fight there, Rose, I believe, to keep your... Your brothers and sisters who have fallen away from stealing her soul and moving her soul into a confused place in her last year. So I'm going to encourage you to go ahead and take some simple but kind, truthful, and regular action on that in your daily phone calls with your mom. And God bless you, and let the Holy Spirit guide you as you do that. It's a responsibility we have as a parent. All right? To our parent as a child in their old age. God bless you. Bye-bye. All right, we already took a break, so we can still keep going here, right? All right, our next caller is Jean from Maryland, listening on Sirius Radio as well. Welcome to the show, Jean. How can I help you today?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Oh, sure.
I'd like some advice about my son. So when he went through confirmation, he got hung up by whether the Eucharist, it didn't change in physical principles, mm-hmm. and so was it really the body and blood of Christ? And since that time, he's taken a slide into being agnostic and now into atheism, and he doesn't believe the Bible is sacred scripture, and so I'd like some advice.
Okay, and how old is he?
On that starting point.
Okay.
He's 29.
Oh, 29. Okay, so, and he was confirmed when he was 16, 15? So it's been a while.
And he went to a Catholic high school. Mm-hmm. So, he had a good foundational training.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Wow. So this is several years that he's been in this kind of thinking. So to respond to him, well, first of all, pray. You know, pray, and ask God to move him, offer him up to Our Lady, her Immaculate Heart, and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and let them take over the main part of this. So, and pray for him daily. And then you can respond to some of his comments in simple, again, but truthful ways. So if he brings up, well, you know, I don't want to go to Mass with you, Mom, you know, on Christmas, or, you know, whatever his excuse was last week, you can then respond as if this is temporary. And this helps a lot of times with young adults and teenagers say, well, I know you've been struggling with this since you were 13, but I was hoping you'd have gotten through this by then. There is a certain time of confusion where people are trying to figure out, is God real? Is the Eucharist real? How can I prove this? And I thought, you know, being as smart as you are, you would have come through this by now. So speak as if you know that he will come back to the truth. And then send little bits and pieces, maybe from Catholic Answers, maybe from Eucharistic Miracles. You can send him the scientific proof of Eucharistic Miracles, and just maybe send him an email or a snail mail. People hardly get any regular mail anymore. Or just bring up small things, little bits of things for him to read, and keep the presumption going that you believe he's going to come to the truth and understand the truth again, because this questioning is temporary. Because we know that this questioning does occur, but if he's looking in the wrong places for it or rejecting the truth rather than seeking the truth, he's not going to find it. And so continue to encourage him to seek the truth in the right places, whether it's listening to Catholic Answers, calling into some of the shows on EWTN, by reading good literature, studying Scott Hahn, and see where God can find, or where God can move him through information that you either send him or that he finds. So speak to him as if this is temporary, he's going through a phase of trying to understand the truth, and remind him of the story of St. Augustine, who sought truth even in the midst of a different lifestyle, and came to the truth in a beautiful way. Maybe even St. Augustine's Confessions, if he's a little bit intellectual and want to read the Confessions of St. Augustine. It's a huge theology book, but it can bring him to an understanding of knowing that conversion is possible at his particular age, because St. Augustine was probably his age when he converted, and that there is agree that there is truth in his search. It is good to search. It's good to make religion your own, but to say, I thought you would have come to the truthful conclusions by now. And so here are some helps on your search so that you don't reject the truth, but that you can truly find it. And that way you've got a positive attitude toward it. You can send him things, even if he rejects it, keep praying and just send it less often than you were sending it over. But keep up the small, gentle, loving promptings of helping him move toward the truth. And I think that you'll see in God's time some movement there of his heart toward the Holy Spirit. So thanks for that call. It's an important thing for a parent to be aware of and be ready to help with during times when their children are backsliding from the faith. So as long as he's not violently opposed to you speaking to him about that, give it in little bits and keep praying. Thanks for the call, Jean. God bless you. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective by calling this toll-free number. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. We're taking calls on personal problems as well as New Year's resolution. We'll be back with your calls right after this message.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
We continue our countdown of the top interviews and discussions of 2020. We'll hear testimonies from police and doctors, reports from Hong Kong and the Middle East, historical analysis, biblical exegesis, the lives of the saints, scholars, and sinners, and more as we continue looking back at the best stories and best interviews of 2020.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Over the last 50 years, we've had some of the greatest popes since the Reformation era. So why are things such a mess in American Catholicism? How do we analyze and confront the attacks we're facing? How do we identify wolves in sheep's clothing? How do we re-evangelize the baptized? Dr. Ralph Martin makes sense of a church in crisis and shows pathways forward. He'll make sense of a disordered world. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and you'll find it in our online bookstore.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. The conclusion of another year should help us reflect upon what we have done and what we have failed to do. Tonight, an exchange is completed. God gives us the gift of time and we use it in loving service to others. What have we done this year for the defense of life? Whatever we did, we can be sure that God multiplies the effect of our efforts. We can also be sure that the new year will offer us the chance to do even more. Let us resolve tonight that we will increase the amount of time and energy we devote to what the Pope and bishops have called the number one moral issue, restoring the right to life. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Welcome to Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. You can also contact me outside showtime at my website. You can contact me there at sexrespect.com or through the station here. Mast Appeal at AveMariaRadio.net. Our show is produced by Ave Maria Radio and brought to you by the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Okay, get to our callers here on our first show of 2021. Doris from Colorado. Welcome to the show, Doris. How can I help you today?
Well, I truly need some help.
Okay, great.
I take care of my father. He's going to be 99.
Cool.
I had a sister that used to live in that household. Now she helps me on occasion with him, but she used to live in that household, and she is a hoarder.
Oh, boy.
It has cost me thousands of dollars to clean up the mess that was in the basement. And now that she's helping, now that she has helped me out a little bit, and she comes over in the evening to stay with him when I go home, she is starting to bring things in again. And I have in the past given things away. I had to hire somebody to come and clean out the basement, and they just threw everything because it was full of mold and mildew, things like that. Anyway, I'm totally distressed. I don't know exactly how to handle this. I mean, I know that hoarding is supposedly an illness. I just don't know how to handle this.
Yeah, that's so hard. Yeah, hoarding. I've spoken a lot about hoarding, but it's rooted essentially in insecurity, and it's actually against the 10th commandment of being greedy. But it just shows our lack of trust in God, that He's not going to provide for all of our needs, or maybe, you know, fear of financial poverty. You know, hoarders think they might never have what they need if they let go of what they have. So it's really the opposite of generosity. So then even that's from a spiritual perspective. Now from a, you know, social and psychological perspective, there are a lot more things about hoarding. But let's try to solve this problem as to what your particular problem is with it. And that is, she's bringing stuff into the house and you're taking care of your dad and trying to get rid of these things, Doris. Now, do you live in that house where you take care of your dad, Doris?
I would live there. However, I have two nephews that live there that aren't much help with anything.
Okay.
And
all right.
So I'm there all day.
Mm-hmm.
And then when one of them comes home from school, he takes care of my father till my sister gets home from work.
Nice.
I mean, we're trying to help each other, but I would rather it would be nice if I could live there, but I can't live there with all these other people that are driving me insane.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to get out of there, and I need a quiet spot to pray, and I need some place that I can take a shower and not feel like I'm going to be invaded, you know, whenever. It's just one of those things. And
okay, no, I respect that, and I think you've made good decisions about that. It's probably best not to be there, otherwise you'd be on duty all the time. So it's great to have a break, great to go back home. Now what are we going to do about your sister who's the hoarder? Okay, we have to set some boundaries with her and be firm and give her a small place where she can bring things in. If she's coming to help out when you are not there, or you're, you know, passing when she is there, sometime be there when she comes and be very clear with her and tell her about cleaning out, about the mold, about how much it costs to get your dad's house cleaned out, and tell her that you're working on that now. Your dad is 99 or will be 99. He's probably not going to live a lot longer, and tell her it's important now that you guys start cleaning out the things dad isn't using anymore and give them to somebody who needs them or throw them away. So just let her know this is a good preparation so you aren't burdened. It's going to be sad enough. You'll have enough distress to, you know, plan the funeral and the arrangements when dad dies, and then the other arrangements of what he leaves and who he leaves it to. So just say we're trying to eliminate this one problem right now and getting rid of everything in the basement that we can, that he doesn't exactly need. So start on a plan with her where what stuff is, you know, say let's both agree we're going to start filling these bags that are going to, whether you're going to St. Vincent de Paul or the Salvation Army, just start, say for our new year, let's start loading up things that can be given away and then loading up things that be thrown away, so you don't have to hire a dumpster at the end. That costs money. But if you could just fill up the garbage can each week, make it a process. And then set a limit of what she can bring into the house. Have one basket, for example, maybe sitting in, you know, the living room or the kitchen, and say, if you're going to bring anything new into the house, you know dad doesn't need that much, but limit it to this space so she knows she has a particular spot where she can bring new things in, and when that spot overflows, she either has to bring it back home, throw it away, or give it away, because that is the amount of space you're going to leave her. You don't want her filling up the entire basement as well. So you can approach her as if this is something you're going to work on together. You know, that it's a team effort. You can even have the nephews join in that. And they can know what the process is, that we're trying to throw away or give away anything that's good, throw away anything that isn't, so that dad's house isn't overwhelmed with junk and stuff as he, when he passes away, whether it's a year from now or 10 years from now. We don't know how long he'll live. But make it a team effort, set some goals, ask her complete cooperation, and then set her a limit as to what particular, what amount of things she can bring in to that house. And if she exceeds that, bring it up to her again. Say, whoa, I see your basket is overflowing. It's time for us to work together. I'm calling the St. Vincent de Paul truck. They're coming Tuesday. How many bags can we have for them to pick up, or how many boxes can we have for them to pick up? And then in the underlying message, we want to talk about generosity versus greed, because and trust in God, that we know God will provide for your dad and all of you when you have needs. And he might provide through somebody else giving something else away. But truly, when you think of the people that are in need, that St. Vincent de Paul Society or Salvation Army are helping, people that they screen carefully and are helping, maybe their house burned down, or maybe their spouse left them, or if they lost their jobs and they need certain things that they don't have and they don't have access to. So a charitable organization is doing their work of charity. So have her think that when she gives something away, when we fill up this bucket for St. Vincent de Paul Society, and then we give things away that are in the way, that is garbage, we are helping not just the earth by recycling things, but helping ourselves grow in generosity by us giving to others, and we are helping the poor in doing a corporal work of mercy in that way. So encourage her to think spiritually about it, and then give those physical boundaries of how much stuff that she can bring into the house. And continue to solicit her cooperation with a positive attitude, as if she will come along. And I find that being positive will not allow her to fight you about it, because you're going to you have a lot of good reasons, both spiritual and social and physical, to follow that path of cleaning out, decluttering, and having her not bring anything more into Dad's house, because he doesn't need anything more at 99. So God bless you. We could talk more about hoarders at another time, but at least that gives you that practical advice for getting through this situation. God bless you, Doris, and thanks for taking care of your dad and working that out with your family. We'll be back with more of Mass Appeal at 877-5-PEP-TALK after this message. Morning. Welcome to Mass Appeal, Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. We try to look at situations in the light of Christian faith, hope, and love. We try to live out those virtues that God planted in our souls at baptism, faith, hope, and love. Okay, our caller, we've got several callers on the line. We'll try to get to all of you before the show's over. So Josie from North Carolina is next. Welcome to the show, Josie. You're on the air now. What's your question?
Thank you. Good morning, Colleen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
First of all, I want to say that you are a blessing. Listening to you is so inspiring, and you really do give great advice. My situation, you're welcome. My situation is this. My boys were raised Catholic. They went to elementary school and a Catholic school, then went on to high school, Jesuit school, and they're married, and I have grandchildren. In fact, one of my daughter-in-law is pregnant now, and my youngest grandson is going to be 2. I keep insisting that they need to be baptized, and they keep putting it off and putting it off. Well, Mom, you know, I have to register at a church. It's costly. They expect this from us. And then COVID came. I was able to speak to my parish in Georgia, and they were able to, do some accommodations in order for them to baptize my youngest grandson.
Mm-hmm.
And all I get are excuses. I've mentioned it to my daughter-in-laws. I really would love for your children to be baptized. I'm afraid if something was to happen, they would not be saved. You know, you're brought up in this faith, and then you see your children not doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my question is, how do I approach this again without being such a nuisance, without being the mother-in-law who is meddling and telling me, what I should and shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And this is a great heartache for you as well, because you know the value of baptism, and they just don't get it. I mean, there's a big difference between the state of grace and not being in the state of grace. God's life in your soul, this is huge. But a lot of people that are your kids' ages right now were not catechized well enough, you know, that the book just said, oh, you should become a member of God's family. They don't talk about original sin or the state of grace, so they might have missed out on that. So how do you do this without being a nag? Well, first of all, you might have to nag a little bit, but since you had a lot of reasons, they had all these excuses, that you have to not talk to the sibling or not talk to the spouse, because you don't want to be the in-law trouble, but talk to your own child and be very serious. Not just a plea, not just a request, and I really want you and it makes me feel bad. None of that kind of language. Just say, this is serious. We really have to chat about something that I think really needs to be done right now in 2021 during January. And this has been, you're putting off in your excuses about not baptizing your child. There's a serious difference between the state of grace and not being in the state of grace. And just don't even get into the argument of the theology and just say, I know you were taught the difference. You might not remember it now, but just believe me, this is serious. And if you care at all about your child and you really want them filled with love and their capacity to love, to be the best that it can be, they need to be baptized. I know you've had a lot of excuses. Let's make a list of how to overcome those right now. And instead of just a feeling and a request and an emotion, make a plan. Just say, this parish will baptize them. We can call this parish and just say, should we set this up now or should we talk about it on Saturday afternoon and we'll call you back then. So make a plan, get one in order, and undo any excuse that they might have for the good of this child. And remind them that this is for this child's eternal life. Like, they're going to do a lot of things to prepare for just their physical life this next coming days. I mean, they're going to give them the right amount of food and shelter and clothing and probably toys and entertainment and education. So the most important thing is their eternal soul. That lasts longer. So I would talk to just your own child, your own child that you gave birth to, and not with their spouse, so you don't become the meddling mother-in-law. You're the mother concerned for your child's soul, who's responsible for bringing their child to baptism and for their child being baptized. And you will do what you can do to help them plan it and execute it, and get them to do as much as they can. And when they say this, this excuse or that, we register costly, and just say it for what it is. Say, oh, come on, that's an excuse. Let's get past this. You're smarter than that. So give them a compliment that they are smarter than that. They know better. Don't put them down about it, but just pick them up by their bootstrings. Some people are just lazy or putting things off and then hearing those excuses, those lies of the devil. You don't want Satan to win on this one. So clearly, firmly, help them make the plan. And then if they absolutely reject it and have a reason, I'd take a break until about Lent, and then bring it up again. So I would persevere in this. It's a serious thing. And getting these grandchildren baptized and getting your own child to realize they need to convince their spouse of that. Or even, Josie, if they go through the motions and they don't firmly believe that this is that important to do, your grandchild will still get the graces necessary through that sacrament. The graces will not be hindered by the parent's bad attitude. Because what good can happen is if they have to go through this little class, which is probably online now, they're going to learn about their own spiritual life and about what baptism really is. So get them at least signed up, registered, and then the parish will help out with that education that's needed. Because a lot of people come to baptism just because they're grandparents insist, or they did it, or they want to have a party. People come with the wrong motives, but they can still do the right thing. All right? All right.
Thank
God
you
bless
so
you.
Much. Thank oh. you. God bless you. Thank you.
You're Bye-bye. Welcome, Josie. Bye-bye. So keep up the good work and share that faith. It's one of our most important responsibilities as grandparents is to pass on the faith to the next generation. Okay. It's time for our break. We'll be back with more calls right after this message on Mass Appeal and taking on calls of free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective as well as New Year's resolution. So we'll be back with more of Mass Appeal right after this message.
Why is the Church always considered holy? The Church is held to be holy because Jesus Christ, who alone with the Father and the Holy Spirit, is holy. He loved the Church as his bride. The Catholic Catechism tells us he gave himself up for her so as to sanctify her and endow her with the gift of the Holy Spirit for God's glory. United with Christ, the Church is sanctified by Christ. With him and through him, she becomes sanctifying. All the activities of the Church are directed toward the sanctification of persons in Christ and the glorification of God. It is in the Church that, by the grace of God, we acquire holiness. The Church on earth already is endowed with real, though imperfect, sanctity. In her members, perfect holiness is yet to be acquired, though all members are called to perfect holiness. Charity is considered the soul of holiness. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchuk.
Do you ever just feel off, but you don't know why? Maybe everything seems fine, but you just feel down or disconnected. Well, you're in luck, because I've got just the thing to help you get your mood back on track. A new study by Texas A&M found that making small changes, like reminding yourself to smile more, can actually have a significant impact on your overall mood. Researchers caution that they don't mean to suggest that a person can smile their way to happiness, especially if someone is dealing with serious emotional problems. But they say the study is important because it highlights just how much our emotions take their cue from things like body posture or facial expressions. So go ahead. Give yourself permission to smile. It might be just what the doctor ordered. I'm Dr. Greg Popchuk, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
The Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. It's our last segment. I'm going to go to the phones here to see if we can get to everybody before the show ends. So Christopher from Iowa, listening on Sirius XM Radio. Welcome to the show, Christopher. You're an RCIA. Welcome. Okay, how can I help you today, Christopher?
Yes. I was seeking some advice from you.
Okay.
So the other day, I was in RCIA, and Father was teaching us about confession. He stated that when we go to confession, we need to confess our sins, as well as the sins of our family members and the sins of our state, and that we are liable for all of those sins. I'm feeling a little overwhelmed here, and I think he's in error, but I'm not very educated and not sure. Could I get some advice on that?
Yeah, well, I think that that might have been misunderstood. When you go to confession, you confess personal sins, sins that you committed, particularly mortal sins, you know, serious offenses against God. You can ask, outside of the confessional, you can ask God to forgive your family's sins or the sins of the world, but you're not personally responsible for those. So confession is about your personal sin. But, forgiveness and your prayers for people, others to be forgiven, you know, can take place outside the confessional. So you might ask him to clarify that. But my understanding is that confession is just about our personal sins. You don't have to confess the sins of your family or the world, although you can pray at another time that those be forgiven. It's enough, especially in RCIA, just to remember your own big sins since baptism. So I'd focus on those, Christopher. And if you need to, you know, call him and clarify or ask that question next week. I think that maybe that was misinterpreted a little bit. Okay, does that help you?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
Okay, all right. God bless you, and have a wonderful first confession, and welcome to the church. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right. Call back if you have any other questions later on. I love questions from RCIA people. I love welcoming new people to the faith. God bless you. Okay, Annie from New York is next. Welcome to the show, Annie. You're on the air now. Go ahead with your question.
Good morning. Good morning. We have a granddaughter who's 14 years old, living across the country from us, who is heavily influenced by LGBTQ people that she's become friendly with, to transgender. She is in a group, she has a mentor, and she's convincing our son to her father and her parents and to support this. And they would like us to support it and to approve it and to condone it and to essentially celebrate it.
Yeah.
We don't want to do that. He's already affirming her by calling her a boy name and boy pronouns because she's insisting on that or she'll kill herself. So he's already speaking in the language of LGBTQ.
Mm-hmm.
And when he emails us or talks to us on the phone, and we have let him know that we are extremely concerned, because when she gets back to school, when things open up in California, all she needs to do in a place like California, some states have this, is tell a teacher or a counselor, and they will take her to the clinic for her treatment.
Yeah. Isn't this sick? It's a sick, sick culture. And you're not the only family dealing with this. Another one of my life coaching clients is having the same problem with the children, a teenager influenced by the LGBTQ movement through online schooling ads that come out about the LGBTQ club in their school. Oh, my goodness. So I agree with you to not to play the game. And remind your son that this is a lie. It's a lie of the devil. This is not the truth of God. You cannot transgender. You cannot change every cell of your body, which is male or female. And I encourage you not to play the game of these pronouns, because you don't want to lie with them or support the lie. There is an underlying problem, whether it's a mental illness, whether it's confusion, whether it's social confusion, whether it's hormone imbalance. There's an underlying problem in the kids that have this thought that is now fed and festered by the whole movement. And it's a sad, sad movement, but I would try to learn some of the truths about this. And there are even videos of doctors, you know, running around the internet, you know, that prove that this is child abuse to do that. Seeing that they're in California makes it a lot more difficult for you. But I would say to talk to your son, tell him we're not going to go along with this. It's wrong. Help him to try to find the underlying problem of what's causing them. Ask her to separate herself from this movement that's confusing her, and get right with God and some mental health professionals that are from maybe CatholicTherapist.com or Catholic counselors, that they can then help them through the underlying problem. Because changing her body or getting surgery or taking hormones of the opposite sex is not going to help her. Maybe she needs the hormones of her own sex. Maybe she needs some mental health counseling. So to have your son get her the help that she needs would be the best thing that you can do, rather than follow along with it. Okay, Annie? All right.
We are educators and a guidance counselor, and we have said everything you've said is good for you to affirm that what we've done has been the right thing, but he doesn't want to hear any more about that. He says this will make her happy. And we, so we are wondering what's next. Is there somebody in California that you know of that we can hook him up to who will?
Okay, I would suggest go to CatholicTherapist.com, and I don't know anyone particularly, but utilize some of the resources that we have through the Catholic Church. Find a very good pro-life organization or the diocesan offices that can help you, refer you to a counselor that can help them through that. So God bless you in seeking the truth and helping her live the truth so that she can be truly happy as God created her to be. Thanks for the call. All right, Berta, call back. We'll chat with you more. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, reminding you in 2021 to be Christ to others.
Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Copies can be purchased or free downloads can be found at the Ave Maria website, AveMariaRadio.net. If you have a comment or question for Colleen, write to Colleen at AveMariaRadio.net or Mast Appeal at AveMariaRadio.net. And listen for Mass Appeal Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 Eastern Time for free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective.